fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The National Basketball Association and the International Basketball Federation recently announced plans to launch a professional league in Africa in January 2020. The Basketball Africa League, or BAL, will feature 12 club teams representing at least 9 African countries, including Angola, Egypt, Kenya, Morocco, Nigeria, Rwanda, Senegal, South Africa, and Tunisia. Qualification tournaments are scheduled to be played later this year, and no more than 2 teams from the same country can qualify for the fledgling Basketball Africa League. The NBA and FIBA also plan to give money and resources toward the continued development of African basketball, including training for players, coaches, and referees. For reaction to the new Basketball Africa League, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the head coach of basketball in Rivers State, Nigeria, Fubara Anyanabo.
I think it's a very welcome development. We in Africa, or let me say Nigeria, I heard Nigeria is one of the countries that will be featuring team in that NBA African League. We're going to benefit a lot from it in terms of exposure, money, organization, a lot of things. I think it's a very welcome development.
Do you think more African talents will make the NBA draft with the Basketball Africa League?
One of the problems we have in Africa is that we don't have enough games to play. Like, let's just come back home here in Nigeria. Basically, we have teams play an average of 20, 25, 40, not up to 30 games every year. And you know that no matter what, you need a lot of games to improve. And with the coming of this NBA Africa League, aside playing our domestic league to play in the continent, I think we still have something to play that we have to play home and away basis. I tell you, we're going to have a lot of players that will be exposed, and we'll have a lot of potential people getting the draft from the African League. Knowing quite well that some years back, we had a player in person of Ejike Ogbaja that made the NBA draft playing from our local league. By this time, there will be more venue for them to play, and scouts will be watching our players.
Looking at the Basketball African League, what suggestions or ideas you have for the basketball clubs or teams in Africa?
Well,
what do you want them to do to meet the standard set by the NBA?
I think if I understand well, they said they're supposed to have a playoff qualifiers. So invariably, we're going to look at the best team in Nigeria is going to play that league that we are looking at. And for Nigeria here, every team that goes to play in the continent, what will happen every day is that, okay, let's say River Supers, they are champions of our league this year. Most time what they do is that they go to other clubs in Nigeria, maybe just try to get one or two players that will help beef up them so they can have a very, very formidable presentation. You know, the North Africans and the Angolan team will always be tough, because you see, the average Angolan prefer to play in his country because there's a lot of money than going outside his country to play. So you find out that the best players in Angola are always inside Angola. That's why you can find out that they're always tops in this African club championship. In Nigeria here, I'm not sure if the highest paid Nigerian player ends up to $1,000. I'm not really sure. So if you have opportunity of just getting $500, $1,000 outside Nigeria, you run there. So you find out that both football or basketball, our best players are never found in our league.
Or what do you think FIBA Africa should do to improve the standard of the game in the continent, to meet the standards set by the NBA?
Well, you talk about standard of NBA, how to do a lot of money. I'm not sure if FIBA have that kind of money that NBA is throwing around. As I said earlier, like, you look at the Angolan team. The Angolans, what's happening? They have their best players are always found in their league. If they're found in their league because they have money to throw, to give to players. So if you don't have money, you can't keep a player in your league if you don't have money. I'll tell you, one of the best players we have in Nigeria are playing in Tunisia, Morocco, and the rest for $1,000, $1,500. Yes, monthly. But if we have that kind of money here, I'm not sure if anybody wants to leave his country to go and suffer for that much outside. So first is to get good sponsorship. Sponsorship, very, very lucrative sponsorship that you can give players money, you can give teams money.
And Basketball Africa League, do you think it will put more money into the purse of African players?
Yes, it will. Number one, I think they are going to sponsor each team that's participating in that league. It's not going to be like you sponsor your team. No, they're going to set standards. If you want to be part of that league, this is what you can do. So if you cannot meet up the standard, you don't come. And outside that, I know that if NBA is involved, NBA will make sure that things work very well. NBA will make sure that the players are well remunerated, they have enough money. I have a kid presently in the NBA African Academy in Senegal. I know how they take care of them very well. And almost every month they are traveling, getting exposed, playing more games. I know if they can do that for an ordinary NBA Academy program for kids all under 17, 80 years. Come talk of a league they are bringing to Africa. I tell you that is a very, very wonderful thing the NBA is doing. I must commend them for this.
That's Fubara Onyenabo, the head coach of basketball in Rivers State, Nigeria. Fubara also played for the Nigerian national basketball team, and he was talking with Iron Mike Mbonye in Port Harcourt, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Let's sample some more reaction to the new Basketball Africa League. Amadou Gallo-Fall, NBA Vice President and Managing Director for Africa, says, and I quote, "The establishment of the Basketball Africa League is another exciting milestone for the NBA in Africa. Having a top-flight professional basketball league in Africa will provide a platform for elite players to showcase their talent and inspire more young boys and girls to play the game." Meanwhile, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says, and I quote, "The Basketball Africa League is an important next step in our continued development of the game of basketball in Africa. Combined with our other programs on the continent, we are committed to using basketball as an economic engine to create new opportunities in sports, media, and technology across Africa." Also on hand for the announcement of the new Basketball Africa League was this NBA Hall of Famer and global ambassador from the Democratic Republic of Congo.
"This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net."
This is the Voice of America. Washington, Bamboozip, D.C.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Samson Omale joins us now with a package of African football news. Samson says he'll be kicking off with some reaction to Mali lifting the under-20 Africa Cup of Nations trophy. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. Mali were crowned African under-20 champions after beating Senegal 3-2 on penalties to win the CAF African under-20 championship. The much-anticipated final had finished 1-1 after 90 minutes and extra time. Coming into the Sunday's final, Senegal had won all four of the matches they had played in Niger. All four semi-finalists, South Africa, Nigeria, Mali and Senegal, will now begin their preparations for the Under-20 World Cup, which kicks off in Poland in May. Some football fans react to the win this way.
I was surprised. I was totally amazed that Mali was able to defeat them, because I never believed Senegal would lose the match.
I'm sure it will not be the best of evenings for the Senegalese after losing their third straight finals on a stretch.
The Confederation of African Football, CAF, has officially approved the use of video assistant referee at the 2019 African Cup of Nations tournament, set to take place in Egypt from June 19th to July 21st, 2019. This will be the first time in the history of AFCON that video assistant referee will be used. The video assistant referee became famous during the 2018 FIFA World Cup in Russia. VAR was also used during the finals of the 2018 CAF Champions League between Egyptian giant Al Ahly and Esperance of Tunisia. It was also applied at the 2018 CAF Confederations Cup. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African athletics, one of the inspirational success stories at the recent Birmingham Indoor Grand Prix meet in England was Joseph Deng. The young runner was born in a Kenya refugee camp, as we hear now in this report from the energetic Andy Edwards.
The Australian outdoor record for the men's 800 metres had stood for 50 years before Joseph Deng broke it in Monaco last July. The 20-year-old is originally from South Sudan and arrived in Australia as a toddler 16 years ago, having been born in a Kenyan refugee camp after his mother had fled the conflict. Deng is a coming star, and no mistake. He came through to win a ragged 800 metres on the Birmingham boards on Saturday, where Kenya's Cornelius Tuwei fell. His reward was another record, breaking the Oceania mark with 1 minute 47.27.
It's a massive privilege getting the record. That's what we trained for. And after my first race, my coach and I talked, and he knew I could run the time today. So he wanted me to go out real hard. But after that fall, kind of had to slow down a little bit and then restart.
Give us an idea of something of your background. I mean, clearly you're a young talent. You're talking about working with your coach. I would just say the coach, and how long you've been running at this competitive level?
Well, I moved to Australia from... I was born in a Kenyan refugee camp, and then I moved to Australia in 2004. I've been competing at this level basically since the World Juniors in 2016. So I went there, made the semis, just missed out on the finals. And then 2017 was my first summer in here in Europe. And then last year was my breakthrough year, running at three Diamond Leagues. So I think last year was a massive achievement.
And was, or is the 800, has that always been your prime event, or did you move up from a sprinter or a 400?
Nah, 8's been the primary event for sure. I did a few 400s when I was a bit younger, but in high school there's this competition called the GPS, so versus other schools I did quite a few other events there. I did the four hurdles, the triple jump, but the 8's my main.
Well, I fear you might be running out of breath, but just one more question. I mean, in terms of the year, the outdoor season ahead, of course we've got the World Championships 2019 in Doha. They're late in the year, end of September they start. That must be a target for you, providing you get selected. I mean, that must be another hurdle.
Yeah, getting selected for sure. Well, I mean, you have to run the qualifier first. No one's run that yet. So I think we'll run it in Australia, 145.80. The world champs, that's the main goal right now.
Joseph Deng, congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you, energetic Andy Edwards, for that report on Joseph Deng. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest bitter part of the bottom of your heart, Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
And my Voice of America colleague, Shaka Sali, will be waiting for you Wednesday night at 18:30 UTC GMT with another edition of Straight Talk Africa. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In pro boxing, world heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua was in New York Tuesday to promote his June fight against American Jarrell Miller. My VOA colleague Gwen Uten has that story, as well as some news about next year's Tokyo Olympics. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Well, the smack talk was a little more in your face on Tuesday when the two boxers squared off in a fiery news conference. Undefeated hometown boy Jarrell Miller was feeling right at home and said the only thing on his mind is Anthony Joshua.
You have no idea. I breathe, eat, sleep Anthony Joshua. I got a picture of him as my screensaver, Anthony Joshua. I got a picture on my wall, Anthony Joshua. I wake up in the morning, I think Anthony Joshua.
But if Miller was hoping to get into Anthony Joshua's head, the defending champion said, it's not working.
Like, I don't really take to it. Like, it is what it is. Like, like I said, baby Miller, you put 15 different opponents in front of me at the same. He is who he is. So I don't really think that he's trying to get in my head. I just think that's just who he is.
The two boxers traded verbal barbs months before their upcoming showdown, set to take place in New York's iconic Madison Square Garden. It will mark Anthony Joshua's first title fight outside his native Great Britain, and he hopes to add another victory to his unblemished record of 22 wins. Jarrell Miller, who is also unbeaten with a record of 23 wins, says Joshua has made a huge mistake coming to the U.S., and he will fly home without a title. Well, we'll find out whose trash talk pays off when the two men duke it out on June 1st. You may recall Anthony Joshua won gold for Great Britain at the 2012 Summer Olympics in London. Well, things are heating up for the 2020 Summer Olympics in Tokyo. Tokyo Governor Yuriko Koike says the Olympic Games, as well as this year's Rugby World Cup in Japan, will usher in a new era for Tokyo.
These two major events will serve as a springboard to transform our city. And this year, 2019, will be key in making those games a success and ushering in a new Tokyo. But the metric for success will not be limited to just the competition itself. We want to lead Japan beyond 2020, change the way Tokyo thinks and transform our society, and in doing so, create a city that will be a model for the world.
The first time Tokyo hosted the Olympic and Paralympic Games was in 1964, and the success of the two events resulted in a building boom that transformed Tokyo and left a lasting legacy. Yuriko Koike says she hopes playing host to next year's Games for a second time will further catapult her city into the modern age.
The previous Tokyo Olympic and Paralympic Games in 1964 left a legacy of urban infrastructure like the Tokyo Metropolitan Expressway and Shinkansen bullet train network. I intend for the 2020 Games to leave a more intangible legacy. I also intend for the 2020 Games to leave a cultural legacy, for the Games themselves to be a celebration of culture.
Last month, the Tokyo Organizing Committee of the Olympic and Paralympic Games revealed the brand name for the test events, calling it Ready Steady Tokyo. They say the message of the brand is that they are ready for Tokyo 2020 and steadily moving forward to a successful Olympic Games, which are set to kick off next year on July 24th. And that's all from me, Sonny. Back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Where is the soul of Africa? Well, you might say Henry Ridgewell found the soul of Africa in a group of African migrants pursuing their football dreams in Spain. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to this feature report from Henry Ridgewell.
Sunday morning in the suburbs of Jerez, and two local teams are battling relegation. The third tier of the Andalusian League may not attract many spectators, but for the players of Alma de Africa, football means family. The team, whose name means Soul of Africa, is made up of migrants plus a few locals to help integrate the newcomers. In the shadow of the elaborate Jerez de la Frontera railway station, the players enjoy a post-match coffee. Among them is Modu Ndiaye, who left his home in Senegal 2 years ago. Ndiaye says he and others took a boat from Senegal to the island of Tenerife and that the journey took 10 days. He says it was really hard and everyone thought the group wouldn't make it. He says they ran out of drinking water and suffered a lot. Thanks to God, he says, they reached their destination. Ndiaye's teammate, Bashir Aldaf, arrived in Jerez just 2 months ago. Aldaf says he was a footballer in his country, and on the day he arrived in Spain, asked around for a team to play with. Aldaf says he went to Jerez Football Club for 2 weeks, but the coach told him he couldn't play because he lacked the right papers. Aldaf says the coach told him to go and find Alma de Africa. Alma de Africa was born 3 years ago when locals spotted a group of migrants playing football in a park. The players would often argue, so the locals found a referee and in stepped Alejandro Benitez. On the pitch, Benitez saw talent. Off it, he recognised deep vulnerability. So he set up a team and persuaded the Spanish football leagues to let them play. He says they started from nothing and invested their own money, adding that every year, however, the team has to start from scratch. Benitez appears to be a father figure for many of the players. His role as president extends well beyond the club. Benitez says at the end of the match, we cannot let them go back to their old way of living, selling stuff at traffic signals, washing cars. He says they need more than footballs. He says they need apartments to avoid living on the streets and classes so they can learn the language more quickly. He says they need support to get them into the labour market, to show that diversity is not negative but positive. Claiming asylum and getting the right legal papers can take years. Finding steady work is all but impossible. Despite the support of the club, Aldaf is finding it tough. He says that before, he believed life would be better in Spain, but it's very difficult without a job. Alma de Africa supports a handful of the tens of thousands of migrants arriving every year in Spain. It also aims to change attitudes through a shared passion. On the pitch, the team is struggling. The bigger challenge is to find the money to keep this football family moving forward. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, Jerez, Spain.
Thanks, Henry. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. And that wraps up the February 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Zainab. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clote of VOA Africa. I am in Nigeria to cover the general election. Listen to my daily report when you tune in to our news shows. Africa News Tonight, Daybreak Africa, Nightline Africa, and International Edition for the latest from Lagos.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the results of the February 16th Nigerian presidential and National Assembly elections. What concerns and issues swayed the voters the most? An in-depth discussion on the Nigerian elections on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
That AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
The prehistoric monument in England known as Stonehenge features megalithic stones that are arranged in concentric circles. The giant stone slabs that form the outer circle are sandstone and are thought to have been taken from a location about 30 kilometers north of Stonehenge. But inside that circle is one made of smaller stones known as bluestones. It has long been thought that the bluestones came from quarries in the Preseli Hills of West Wales, some 290 kilometers north of Stonehenge. An international team of archaeologists led by University of College London say they have found evidence of the exact locations of two of these quarries. Rather than being transported from the quarries to Stonehenge by sea as long thought, the stones may have been transported over land about 5,000 years ago. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Next up, political fallout over U.S. President Donald Trump's declaration of a national emergency. The move, designed to obtain more funding for a border wall without congressional approval, has prompted lawsuits and met with growing public opposition. An update on U.S. politics next on Encounter, Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
The lyrics could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic, etc.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on The Voice of America, Mondays through Fridays, 0900 and 2000 Universal Time.
With David Bandy.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there.
Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.